Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Father, tonight we ask for your spirit to move among us, move in this temple, minister to us, affect our lives. May the works of the Holy Ghost continue among us tonight also. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. It's a blessing to be here on a Tuesday night. I don't know how you see it, but it's always a blessing. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to stand and to minister. It's such a joy. Amen. Preaching brings life. I tell you, if you never preach, you never experience what we're talking about. We're talking about the art of leadership, but before I go on, just want to quickly explain something to you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Let's start from 40. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. How many are still in the spirit? You are still in the spirit. Wow, you should stay in the spirit. The Bible says, once we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Don't come back. Please stay in there, right there. Okay. Let people see you. They should be able to relate with you. They will leave you alone. Amen. Bible says that, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And verse 41 continues to say that then they, I want you to underline the word they. You see, when you do comprehension in school, you are one of the things that comprehension actually does is you are actually tested on your comprehension. When we say English comprehension, we want to know how your brain can comprehend things. And then they say actions will be based on that. Many people who don't get comprehension well are people who don't have headspace. So you read a portion of the story and then you cannot grasp what it is talking about. And that's what we bring even into church. And we don't seem to be very mindful about it, to even ask the Holy Ghost to change and affect our minds. Because the Holy Ghost can make you grasp things. Cry, it's not a problem at all. If in school your English weren't good at the time, in the church your English can be good. I said in the church your English can be good. You know, so the Bible says that then you can, this verse, I've read it several times, but just yesterday also, I think I was trying to share with some people. I don't know whether you understood it, but I feel like I should, speak about it before I continue. Say, then they is the subject of this whole thing. Obviously, the subject is they. We are talking about they. It's they that we are talking about. Right? And for they, you can actually put in anything that makes sense to you. So then, let's say, Lighthouse members. Right? That's gladly. So the they now, because it was on the day of Pentecost, there was such a crazy atmosphere. But Peter stood up and he preached and he explained things. But it wasn't everybody who went along with what Peter was saying. The Bible says about they, a group of them, or exception of the people who were listening, they that gladly received his word. It was those people who were baptized. So this group of people came out of the whole congregation or the population that had gathered in Jerusalem at that particular moment. But some of them were unique because when Peter stood up to speak, they gladly received his words. And because they were glad about what Jesus had come to do, they allowed themselves to be baptized. And the Bible says that same day, about 3,000 people were actually there that gladly received. The 3,000 were the chosen, the selected. Out of how many people who had come all the way from their countries to celebrate Pentecost in Jerusalem? So they that gladly received. I just want to bring your mind back on something about receiving with gladness. You see, David said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This church business and this church thing we're doing, if you don't receive the things gladly, we're just going. You see, they that gladly received, it is those that got baptized. Not the ones that were perfect. Not the ones that were intelligent. But they that gladly received. You see, the gladness in the reception separated them from the rest. Yeah, I'm sure there were people who say, oh, this thing is nonsense. Who can die and rise? We've never heard something like that. What kind of craziness is this thing? How can you say somebody died and man, come on? It doesn't, what is this? The Bible said, but there were some who believed it. They believed, they were glad. They were so excited. They were so happy. They gladly received. And those people were added to 3,000 of them. When you go to verse 42, he says that same people were those who were able to continue. If you'll be able to continue serving God, it will mean that you are glad about the choice and the decision you have made. You are just happy about it. That's what will make ensure your continuity. Any decision you make and you are not happy about it, you will, at the end of the day, you move away from the decision. If you are glad about serving the Lord, the Bible says it is they, that same day from 41, it is they that continued steadfastly in what the apostles taught them. They didn't say this is rubbish. Loyalty is rubbish. Art of leadership is rubbish. What is this thing? What is he talking about? No. They were so glad that anything the apostles would teach them, they would just receive it. And those are the type of church members we are looking for in the Lighthouse Chapel International. I see you receiving things gladly. Yeah. No, you can't. You cannot. Let me say it. Maybe some people don't understand this. You can't come to church and fight. You can't come to church and look for problems. You can't come to church and leave angry and annoyed. Something wrong. Those of us who come here, we must come gladly. When we are singing a song, you must know why you are singing a song. If there's preaching, you must be able to receive the preaching gladly. Yeah, let a pastor feel that he's preaching to people who are excited to hear God speak to them. Hey. Yeah. Is it roses, tulips, or what are their names again? We say quack. Quack is not a name. Is it roses? Are you called roses or what? Tulips or what? What are you? Okay, you are roses from today. The roses. Because your name has even disappeared. Mm-hmm. The roses. So don't call them the choir again. There's nothing like a choir. They are called roses. No, your singing has changed. Your singing has changed from today. It has changed. Yeah. You sing because you are happy. So if you come on stage and you are singing, we can't feel the happiness. Then please don't come and sing on stage. Prince, why are you smiling? It is they that continue. I don't know. Maybe to take my preaching time. I don't know. But it is they that continue. You see, when you receive something gladly, you don't care about distance. You don't study money. Please. And that is why the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because the gladness about God seems to give you some adrenaline. You see, it seems to, it's like you are on a drag. It gives you strength. If you are not glad about what you are doing, you never receive strength. Somebody was asking me, but are you giving us that scripture? They said, chikungunya came. I didn't see you walk like that. I didn't see you this. I don't see you with this. I don't see you that. I said, it's because I'm serving the Lord. Because I'm happy about what I'm doing. For the joy of the Lord, that is what your strength comes from, the joy. The Bible says, a merrieth heart doeth good like medicine. Yeah. A heart that is merry, it does good to the body like medicine. Yeah. A merry heart, it doeth good like medicine. But a broken spirit, it gives you cancer of the bones. Depression. Those of you who go through depression, tell me, your face turn up all the time. That is why your Christian life is not working, because there's no joy. You start doing things for God gladly. You imagine if you hire somebody, or you have a child at home, you ask them to clean the kitchen, and then they turn their face and they're sweeping. And as they're sweeping, you see how they're sweeping. You see, there's a way we sweep in Guyana. I don't know who taught us that. People stand and sweep. Hey, if my mother will slap you. It's lady, right? You go down and you sweep. The broom must touch the floor like that. My mother will slap you. Yeah, you must bend your back. My mother would take the spoon that he used to make food and would slap you with a spoon. Go down, go back, go ahead. Yeah. Even if you're in a relationship, your husband, your wife, your beloved, you ask them to do something for you and they express that they're not happy. You feel something about it. You feel a way. That's the way God sees us, you know. That when we come into his presence and then we are singing a song. You see, that's why when I came, I was just looking around to see. I was just looking. How can we play such a music? What are the instrumentalists? Please come, play that song. How can they play something like that? And then you are not, I don't know. I mean, go ahead, you go. I mean, can you make a sound like this? Can you do some? Do some Ashana. Is that Ashana? Can you do some Prince? Can you do some? So when they are doing, Adam, yeah, gladness, you can sit down quietly. God is watching you. You can't be quiet. You can't sit down. You can't say, I don't understand what is going on. I mean, you can't. I mean, if you are glad to be in the presence of the Lord, hey, Abba. And watch and see what God will do. Watch and see what God will do. Watch and see what God will do. You watch and see what God will do. You watch and see. You watch and see. You watch and see. anointed. Hello? I said, you will leave his presence, I mean, with strength. Yeah. Unlike how we come to church and when church finish, those of you who check out immediately, it's very interesting. Yeah, unless you really have an appointment that you have to really attend to. I mean, the joy in coming to the house of the Lord alone. I mean, when it's Tuesday, 6 o'clock, I mean, everybody must make way. Everybody must go on the side. I'm going for strength. I'm going for strength. I don't want anybody to come between me and my strength. The joy of serving the Lord, that is going to be, that is your strength. That's your strength. You can bring two, I can just give you two examples in the Bible of praise and worship that just did the work. Paul and Silas were in jail. There was no prayer. There was no anointing oil. They were just singing. You know, there was an earthquake. God had to respond to their... God had to just say that, I'm happy about what you are doing. And the response was an earthquake. Can you be in jail and sing praises to the Lord? Can you do that? If you can do that, God will also come in the jail and be with you. He will show up. Or like going to jail and say, oh God, why? Why me? Why me? Everything I do, oh God, why? Are you dead? Are you alive? Oh God. Yeah. When you speak like that, he'll be quiet. He'll be quiet. But if you start, if in jail you start, I am blessed. Blessed. God will say, what? In jail? Let me go and be with him. You are in chains and you say you are free. I mean, God will wonder, this my child. Man, I have to be with him. Yeah. They were singing. There were no instruments. They were just singing. And the Bible said there was an earthquake. The earth quaked. Have you sung songs for the earth to quake before? It's coming, it's coming. We are about to experience that in our church. That through singing, that a burden will be lifted away. Through worship, that a chain will be broken away. Yeah. Yeah. And then the walls of Jericho, it was the same thing. They marched around the walls. All that they had to do was just to blow the trumpet. And they shout. And the walls that was fortified to protect the city came down. Unless you don't know your scriptures. So the singing, this, you see, when we sing, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. When we sing, God gets big. It's like a balloon. As you are singing, we are dancing, the balloon begins to, it becomes bigger. It begins to feel it. And once God begins to feel something, you understand. You see, for example, there are people around this world, even in our system, who have things to give to you, but you have not provoked them. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be surprised that one day you will satisfy somebody, and you'll be surprised what the person will give to you. No, if you heard a testimony on the recent message, you and your prophet, the man whose daughter, through the messages that bishop is preaching, now himself and his daughter has a good relationship. He's offering, I was surprised bishop even allowed that to be read. He's offering bishop 2 plots of land in an estate place. Why? Because bishop's preaching has made his daughter and him, their relationship become nice. Ah. He said, humbly, I am humbly offering you 2 plots of land. If you humbly accept it, I don't know whether you accept it, but it's because somebody has provoked something in him. Then you see what people have.
Even as you are sitting down there, there are things you have that you don't easily bring out. You bring out when something touches something. I said, where's my bag? Well, bring my bag. You see that? I want my bag. May the Lord touch you like that. You say, I want my bag. Because there are things in your bag. Yeah, this is a challenge. Yeah, move it close to you. There are things in your bag. Move it close to you. There are things in people's bags. But that thing will not come out unless and until something touches them deep. It's the same way God operates. When we touch God deep, you can only touch God not by prayer and by asking. You touch God by singing and worship. You touch Him. Once you touch Him, then you say, hey, angels, what should we do for these people today? And the way they are singing, I feel so nice. Hey, I'm okay. Do it for them. And you see things happening. So that's my advice for you tonight. All right? It's not my message, it's my advice. You try it and see. You do it with joy and see. You do it with gladness and see. You see? Those that did with gladness, things happened. You should go and read from verse 40 right now. It is the same people who were meeting from house to house and breaking bread and having fellowship. It was daily. I mean, there was nothing wrong in them meeting every day because they were glad. Yeah. It's day. Fellowship, breaking bread and prayer. It's not like, come for prayer. Roses, we are praying Friday night, oh, 10 to 2. Yeah. Yeah. The ushers are next. Next Friday, ushers are here praying from 10 to 2. Yeah, same thing. Yeah. All them big boys. Just come out here and pray. What do you do? You only catch people. You should pray. Mm-hmm. So if you like, stay home for 7 to 9. I don't care. But the 10 to 2, you have to be here. Yeah. In fact, the 7 to 9, we are canceling it. You just can take it out. But allowed is 10 to 2. And it's in groups. So this Friday is for the roses. Yeah. And Sherwin will be the one leading the prayer meeting here tonight. Yeah, yeah. She will be leading the prayer. Yeah. 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 If you can lead a song, then you can also lead prayer, isn't it? Yeah. Next week, Friday, ashes are on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lloyd George will lead the prayer. Mm-hmm. So get ready. Your turn is also coming. Aquaba ladies, your time is coming. Instrumentalists, everybody's going. One Friday, every Friday, somebody's going to pray here. 10 to 2, 4 hours. Amen. A praying church is a very, very powerful church. Yeah. Be decisive. That's the art of leadership I'm sharing about. We're saying that you have to be a leader who decides. Okay, the art of leadership, be decisive. You have to make decisions in life. You have to make a decision to marry. You have to make decisions. Life is full of decision making. It may not be nice. It may not sometimes mean be good to people and all of that. You have to make a decision. You can't lead yourself, Asante. You can't lead yourself into any place without making a decision. Ashana, are you here? I'm glad to see you tonight. Man. And that's what, Ishmael? That's Ishmael. That's good. That's good to see you from Pearl. Wonderful. You have to make a decision. Decisions are bound to be made. And that's where we are. So tonight, just briefly, reasons why you must be decisive. Why should I be decisive? I'm sure even today you have had to make decisions. Yeah. Decisions all the time. I came to church like this. I came. I didn't want to go out again, but I decided to just go out. And I went. I got into my car and I went out. And I've come back. Decisions. You have to make a decision. You have to decide. Many people make decision or decision making. They make it look too spiritual. For example, when
when you tell people, when I in the early stages when I came to Guyana, that people were wondering, why and how did I come to Guyana? Did I get a dream? I didn't get a dream. I was asked to come and I decided to come too. You have to make decisions every day of your life. Some of you have to make decisions to leave your boyfriend. You have to decide. He's not taking you anywhere. Look at how long he has been with you and wasting your time. You just have to say, I know. But some of you can't, because the decision making, you want an angel to appear to you and say, "My daughter, my daughter." Even that one, you will not take a decision. Yeah. I have a cousin who is married to a young man. He was a pastor's main assistant for many, many years. And the pastor was admitted. He became sick, was admitted, in an institution for many, many years also before he died. So whilst he was in the institution, it was my cousin's husband who was running the church. You know, the pastor's wife was there and all of that. He was running the church. Now, when the pastor died, I met him one day and he was telling me about the issues as the pastor is in the hospital and all of that, the issues that he is going through with the pastor's wife. You get it? So me, I tried to give him some advice. There are a group of people who see Lighthouse as a very funny church. Yeah. So the last time I had a conversation with her, the husband had traveled. And then they were actually hopping from church to church because they came to the point where they had to leave. Because the pastor who died, his wife, it's like, now she's the owner of the church now. So my cousin's husband had to, move on. So he goes to this church, went to visit 1-2 Sundays. They didn't like it. And then they got to another church. That church, I think he's a friend of the pastor. So the pastor said, come, let's work together. Let's work together. So she didn't even allow me to say, you should have come to Lighthouse. He said, you're Lighthouse people, you are too rigid. I said, all right. You walk and walk. All over. If you are somebody who loves to do God's work, Lighthouse is the right church for you. That's the way. Every church has a speciality. Yeah. If you want to do God's work, if you are interested in preaching, please don't go to First Assemblies. You waste your time. It's not a bad church, but they don't specialize in that. It's like if you go abroad, there are universities, Prince. Tell our people for me. There are universities. There's a university that specializes only in science and technology. So if you are not going in the direction of science and technology, you don't even go to that university. The university that specializes in agriculture. If you are not going to specialize in agriculture, you are not going there. And they are like even UWI, isn't it? Law, there's a different university. All kinds of options. It's the same thing with church also. It's not every church that offers everything. So you have to look at, what do I really want? If you go to the supermarket and you see juice, you see carbonated drinks, you see, which one do you want? Do you want Cokes? Even Cokes, is it the bottle one or the can one? You have to make a choice somehow. And you have to look for, what do you really want? Do you want to feel that shh when it goes into your throat? You can feel the thing, the Cokes, and then you burge. Is that what you want? You have to decide what you want. But you see, when it comes to Christianity, people make Christianity look too spiritual. It's like, if you have to make a decision, you have to pray. How would you know how? Many people have been praying, but they don't hear anything. They don't even understand how it speaks. So if somebody comes, they want something, you say, pray. What kind of thing is that? If they need money or they need to eat, say, okay. Give him a little bag and say, get rice and rice and be happy. So, been around this conversation I had with cousin, I said, you know what? You have to come to them, decide to start.
Say, you know, you got to hear from God. I said, let me not slap you. You got to hear from God? But as I'm talking, you think it's the devil talking to you? You see the thing? I have been a pastor. I am your cousin. We are related. You and your husband, you have church problems. I have been in this business for 21 years. I'm giving you expert advice for free. I know that once you assist a pastor for many years and you leave the church, you can never fit anywhere. You can. So even whether God has called you to preach, what do you mean by God has not called you to preach? Why are you not preaching when you're in the other church? So what is it? All you have to do is find a name. Ephesians Church, Galatians Church, or John Church, or Matthew Church. And just stop the rough, that, you know, just decide and do the thing. That's how it is. It's just like when it comes to marriage, people will live together, they'll be in the house and say, why are you not getting married? Oh, we got to put things together. What things are you putting together? What things are you putting together? What things? You'll be like this for almost the rest of your life. What do you mean by you put things? What things are you putting together? What things? All you need is a ring from Starbrook Market. That's all. Now, if you want me to show you an example of marriage, go to the post office in the mornings when people are getting married at the post office and see how they get married. And ask them whether they put things together or not. 9 o'clock. 3/4 pants and a t-shirt and boots. And then they come and ask you, can you please come and sign as a witness for us? Who said we're putting? What things are you putting together? It's just that you are somebody who refuses to make decisions. That's all you are. The first reason why we must make decisions is that God is a decisive God. The God we serve, he does not drag things. When God has a situation, he doesn't say, hey, so what do you think? What should I do? Let me pray about it. God praying about his issues. So if we are his children, then we will also make decisions. Think about it. God does not leave things over to anybody. He makes the decisions and he executes them. If you are not sure what to do, seek advice. After the advice, make a decision. The God we serve is not a double-minded God. He's not somebody who... Can you imagine that we are praying to a God who, Lord, please bless me. And then he said, okay, let me think about it. Hey, will you serve such a God? A God who cannot make up his mind whether to bless you or not. Whether to protect you or not. You are in a vehicle. It's going to get involved in an accident. And God says, I'm not sure whether I should protect you or not. Let me wait a little bit before I decide. You'll be dead. So because the God we serve is a decisive God, you and I must also have that same trait. Like father, like son. Like mother, like daughter. If God is our father, then his characteristics must also be our characteristics. We can't be the children of God and be people who cannot and are. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. When the earth was without form and void, God made a decision. Are we not excited about the decision, the result of the decisions in Genesis chapter 1? Yeah. God created the heavens and the earth because there was no form. There was confusion. He had to make up his mind to separate and put things together. Separate the sky from the earth, the seas from the land and all of that. God had to decide to do that. He's a decision-making God. When he realized that Sodom and Gomorrah was a very sinful town, he wasn't saying, oh, these people, these young boys, these young people of these days. That is the thing. The one thing with leadership is decision making. It may not be a good decision, but at least you made up your mind. Rather than somebody who does not make up their mind. who cannot make up their mind. Do you know what it takes to live and to be with somebody who cannot make up their mind? So somebody has a ring and he goes on his knees and he's proposing, will you marry me? And then you are standing there. How will it look? It will look bad. I mean, people say, girl, what happened to you? Get you all right? Get you good? Oh, you see what the man doing? You cross a stair. But if the man goes down on his knees with a ring and he says, will you marry me? And then you say yes. You see the excitement. Yeah! But when they say, will you marry me? You say, man, yeah, me no man. Yeah. You spoil the whole joy. You spoil the whole thing. Because mind, what is your mind if you cannot use it to make decisions? Do you hear what I said? What is your mind, Michael, if you cannot use your mind to make a decision? Now, what's the use of that? Let's open your head and take out the brain, throw it away, and then you walk around like that. Yeah, empty head. Just go around empty head. You know, you have to make up your mind. God, it's a decision-making God. You have to decide. Do I or I don't? That's what I was telling my little boy all the time. When he came from Bible school, I said, when are you? You have to choose one of these girls. You have to choose one. You have to choose one. Have I not been talking to you that you should choose one?
Yes, sir.
Whether it's ugly or not, you have to choose one. Because I don't want you to come and be standing on stage, scripture of the week. Let's do it. And then, you are not serious. You can't even make up your mind. Yeah, those of you, we have made choices. Rafael, oh. Yeah, and I think he's trying to make up his mind somehow. Yeah. No, you have to decide. Hey, are you surprised? Okay. You should see him in chambers. Yeah. No, you have to make up your mind. Make up your mind. If you want to be in this church, you have to decide to be here. If you don't want to be here, you have to decide and go. Because if you don't like the church, and then you come, and then you come, you see, you yourself, you get vexed. Because you don't like it, you seem to find things that makes you unhappy and that makes your mind ahead. So the best thing to do, forget about what anybody will say. Just send me a text message. Say, Reverend, you know what? I don't like the church anymore. I've decided to leave. I will love and respect you. At least you made up your mind to do something. Rather than hang around and when it's meeting, you don't come. There's nothing you want to be inside. When we say do this, you don't want to do it. When we say do this, when we say come, you don't come. When we say go, you don't go. Meanwhile, you are also still around. So what kind of person are you? Who are you really? Who are you really? Where do you stand? Where do you belong? If this is your church, then when we ask you to do something, you must do it. Make up your mind. You decide, you give your phone numbers to people. You go to places. When you come to the church, you will say, make up your mind in the church. Turn to your neighbor and tell her, you have to make up your mind in this church. Whether you are here or you are not here. You have to decide. It is not, I am praying for the Lord to lead me. Don't come and lie here. When you are looking for a school for your child, do you pray about it for the Lord to lead you? You look at, you say, no, not David Rose, not Ascension. No. Say, okay, you give me, not Barnabas. We know. From the information around, we know we have information enough to make a decision. So you know Lighthouse too a little bit. You know me, you know us, you know how we do our things. So you have to now decide from the bottom of your heart to be here and stay here and be part of what is going on and be happy. Hey. Me, I've decided to be here. I've decided to be here. Yeah, it's my decision. My children also have to decide whether they want to be here or they don't want to be here. Everybody must make their decision. Me, I came. Hey, you can tell me, oh, when I brought you, you were younger. You couldn't make decisions. But now you decided to go to heaven. I was like, fine, go. Each for himself, God for us all. No, you have to decide. It's better for people to make up their minds than to force people and pull people along anything. There's nothing good about that. God we serve is a decisive God. He makes decisions. He doesn't drag things at all. The next reason why you must be decisive is that all great leaders are decisive. I mean, you may like Trump or not, but he's decided to do things his way. Yeah. And I feel Trump can win. I think he can win. He can win. Trump can win, pa. Because people also don't like Hillary Clinton at all. It's like two bad choices. Yeah, which one will you choose? Two bad choices. Yeah. Yeah. If you read this guy, Assange, Julian Assange's post, WikiLeaks about Hillary. Hey, the guy has decided to take on Hillary Clinton. Hey, if you read his tweets and the things he knows about Hillary and the wicked things he says Hillary has done. Oh, man. And he's waiting. Even today, he celebrated his 10 years today. And they have released 10 million cables in 10 years. He was expected to announce something very very wild today on the 10th anniversary. But he's postponed it to the election, when he's getting close to the election, American election, to say, to release whatever he has to release. Eh? Whether you like Trump or not, at least he doesn't come and read. Ladies and gentlemen, no, he comes. I say, we'll make America great again. Yeah, we'll build a wall and the Mexicans will pay for it. They'll pay for it. They'll pay for it. No, he has decided to do things in a certain way. Now you, any great leader, you think about it, there's no greatness. The Americans decided to go on the moon. They looked at, you see, you and I have been walking around, we see up there, we never want to go there. It's too far. Even the energy to design something that will take us there, it's not on our minds. We like right here. We like here. We like the earth. It's sweeter here. Give me a piece of land here on earth. I'm okay. When people have decided to create space shuttles that would take them miles and miles away to discover what is in the solar system and land on Mars and all these places. The greatness of these people have come because they decided to do things. They decided to make aeroplanes. They decided to do vehicles. If we will also decide to do something, we'll also become great. It's a decision making. All great leaders. Abraham decided to follow God. He decided Abraham's name, the name Abraham, that is the man, the father of many nations, the father of the faith movement. He decided to kill his son for God. It was a decision he took. All great leaders. There's nobody in this world who has become great who never made decisions. If you are going to be great, you will have to be bold enough to make decisions also for yourself and for your life. And not stay in one place. Your failure to decide is a failure to lead. If you can't make a decision, you can't lead. Failure to decide is failure to lead.
Leadership is
80% decision taking. 80% is decision taking.
Chief of staff is gone.
They have to decide. They have to decide to the guy's a small, it's a small, smallish man. He's a little one.
His short is taller than him. Hey! Calvin is taller than him too.
Short man like that. The board decided. They make the decision. They promoted him from colonel to brigadier. And then they've made him chief of staff. All this I'm talking about, for some of you, is like a gibberish, right? It's foreign.
What is that? Your own country.
Hallelujah. You have to decide. You have to be decisive. You are in or you are out. You can't be in and then you don't want to be, but want to be out, but you don't want to be, but you want to be out, but you want to be in also, but you want to be out.
Failure to decide is the same as a decision to do nothing. If you don't decide, it's the same as you are doing nothing. Yeah. Your failure to decide is the same as a decision to do nothing.
If you not decide, then you are doing nothing. Jasmine. If you don't decide, then you are doing nothing.
If you don't do nothing, you go down.
Because people who move on to the next level are people who make decisions. Yeah.
You want to progress, Marisa?
You have to make decisions. You have to.
You have to make decisions. And I know some of you, you have to make some decisions pretty soon. Otherwise, you'll be left behind. The coach will leave you behind.
Regan, are you there? Yeah, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to go for a particular job. You have to make a decision to go back to school. You have to make a decision to rewrite subject. You have to make a decision to leave that boy. Make a decision to leave that man. Hey, there's many people, they are presented with so much evidence, but they can't. It's fantastic. Failure to make a decision is the same as doing nothing. And look at you doing nothing in your life.
This guy, is it Ramson Jr.? He decided to go and study.
It's a good choice. I'm sure you come and disturb us in a few years' time.
It's petroleum something he's going to study. Yeah, he's going to become a champion over this petroleum and gas thing that. Yeah. He could have stayed here in parliament and opened his big mouth and do picketing. Picket. Yeah. You know Charles Ramson Jr.? No problem. He's a pastor in another church on the road. You should read newspapers. Yeah, you should read newspapers.
I was amazed that Ruhi has the mouth to talk about. Is it Deuteram? Deuteram?
It's the same system he has run for all these years. What can you not do in Guyana? You want to go to Suriname? Is it difficult to go to Suriname? Ah, please. A boat can even take me. So why do you blame the government when somebody has run away to Suriname? You should blame the judge who gave him bail. Yeah. They should have known that this guy is a flight risk and have kept him in behind bars, reprimanded in jail. But if you give him whatever bail of something, it's the same thing. It's a judicial system. It's the decision. But of course, they also decided to come on TV and say, this is the government. It's also a decision. Even though it's a bad decision, they still came and they did. Yeah. Because they want to oppose all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to decide. Shorty, you have to decide. It's a lack of decision. You see, you realize that if you don't make decisions, you will not see progress, and it will look as if somebody is pulling you back or somebody is keeping you back. No, it's you who doesn't want to make decisions. It's not no spirit, no angel. It's you. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame anybody for what you have not decided to do. Don't blame anybody. And it is such people who wait alone, and then they'll come and tell you 10 years later that I waste my time with she. You should have decided long ago to do something. He's gone to America. He said you should wait for him. He's gone to jail. He said, wait for me, sweetie. I'm coming back. He said, because of my love for you, I'll wait for you. You know how many people he has told them to wait for him also? Kofi G. Are you waiting? There's a gentleman who, there's a young lady in our church. Let me close with this one. She joined our church some time ago. Then sometimes she was married. So sometimes she will introduce herself, you know, by her married name, and sometimes her maiden name. So then I realized that there's some confusion about this thing. Well, I had a conversation with her. Then she told me that the husband is abroad. The husband has met somebody that he wants to marry for papers. Yeah, so what I tell you? So he wants to marry and you know, secure himself abroad. So he has asked her to file for divorce. But not real divorce, because you know so that he can marry, and then you know, and so it's for the betterment of the family. Have you not heard something like that before? They're around. Yeah, very common. And then you see, you have some very intelligent women also. We'll say, no problem. Which lawyer do you prefer? Anil? Okay, I'll go to Anil. Chatri. And then we'll go. So this lady said she wouldn't do it. And the man vexed with she. He's not sending money for her and the children. Vex. No, you have to decide. Just as he decided to leave you and go, you also have to decide to either join him or something. But you have to make a decision, because don't tell me that after 10, 15 years living with somebody in America, living your life together, you are coming back to marry me here in Guyana. Would you like me again? It can never be the same. When I call you, you tell me, no, please don't call me. You know, don't call me. Don't call me. I'll call you. Don't call me. No, they're intelligent women who do those things, you know. They go along with those things. Very, very intelligent women. Yeah. When you call, it's answering machine. Say, Don't call me. Whoever sees it. And so it's me cousin. No, you have to decide. He said, brother, if you want me, you want me. If you don't want me, say it clearly. I am not going to wait even 1 minute for you. No, you have to make up your mind. So when he goes to America, then things get better. Is that what it is? Those who have gone to America, how many things have gotten better? We are here, they've gone. We are here and they are there. We can be here and be here till midnight. We won't study anything. They cannot come here and be here midnight, because you have to leave just now and go somewhere else. even the freedom alone.
Yeah.
And that's how come we have all these common law, child mother, son of thing. Some of you child mothers, you have been put down. It's like, I don't know how some of you child mothers behave. I don't know how you think. They're thinking weren't good at the time. Some small child that you and somebody has. You are there. The guy won't allow anybody to come close to you. Meanwhile, he will also not marry you. Yeah. One day I had a meeting with child mothers many years ago. Yeah, my office used to be at the back here. Yeah. Where were you, Anita, when I used to have my office at the back here? When it rains, I have to move my chair. So you worry that thing. I called all child mothers and I said, hello. This child mother, child father thing, you have to make it real. Is it a business or is it real? You have to make it like a business. Yeah, the child is a package. It's a product. So if you want a product, I can ship the product to you. I can ship it to you. I can parcel it and send to you. Don't come to the shop for the product. I'll send the product to you. Don't, free delivery, you don't have to pay for it. Don't come by me and spend the night. Because me and you ain't got no business. It's a product you are interested in, so I will deliver the product. I told them. I don't know how many of them took me serious. Yeah. 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 No, you have to. You either have to be serious to make decisions, or you can just live your lives like that, and then it will be like that, and then you'll be there like that, and years will go and come, and he will disrespect you before you realize he has somebody else, he's going to even marry somebody else, and now you it will be your fault. Don't blame God for things that happen to you if you refuse to take and to make decisions. Don't blame God. He has given you a brain. When you stand by the roadside and you want to cross the road, you look to the left, to the right, you look to the left again, and you decide to cross. You don't, at that point, you just say, Lord, show me a sign when to move. Is that how we operate? Oh, are you sure? Oh. You go to border market. You see Bora seller here. You see Bora seller there. Another Bora seller. You say, Lord, lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Which Bora seller should I buy Bora from? And you begin to do praise and worship. You say, let me pray. Spirit move in this market. you will not buy anything. Yeah. The Bora will finish. No, you make a choice. You choose. You go, you look. The ladies especially, they take it. They do something, they check it, we'll be there for 1 hour, check it, another 1 hour, check it, and then they'll go back to this one and say, how much is a pound? But at the end of the day, it's not prayer, it's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. They make a decision to buy and to choose, and that is how your life and my life should be. According to the word of God, let's make decisions. Our life will be different. Amen. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Decide. Yeah. If you have somebody in your life who doesn't make you happy, you decide to just part with the person. Abraham and his nephew Lot. At a point, he was bringing him problems. He said, you know what? I took you from my father's house. Now, if you choose west, I'll go east. Make a choice. We are leaving. You are parting today. I don't want any problems. I don't want any headaches. Anytime you call me, it's a problem. Was it the choir I was telling?
I don't have anybody in my world who gives me headache. Hey, if you give me one, two headaches, I'll pass you straight. Oh, I promise you with all my heart. Even in the church. If you are in the church, you're going to give me problems. You don't want to flow with the things we are flowing. I will pass you straight.
Yeah, I'll pray. You can come and hear the preaching. It's okay.
Yeah.
I will never meet you. You can make an appointment for 200 years from now. I'll never see you.
No. But why should I meet you? Why should I meet you? For what? What do you do to help the work we are doing here for me to spend time with you?
No.
I don't have people who frustrate me at all. The people you see around me, if they were frustrating me, you will not see them again. You will not see them again. One day I decided, one of my leaders, anytime we have meetings, the meeting will spoil because of that person. I said, from today, I will never be in a meeting with this same person again. Finished. I am the pastor. And that was it. Peace. Anytime we have meeting, it's nice. I said, it's good.
You have to make those decisions in your life. If you're having a party, don't invite people who come and spoil the party.
Let them say you didn't invite them. It's okay. Than to invite them, and when they come to the party, you give them anything they don't like. You say, what's that? No, I am right. You are right. Go back home. We've cooked. We've put drinks and things together. You come and you say, you are right. You won't come to my party again. You won't come to my party again. I say, you come to my party again. Would you like someone like that to come to your party again? They'll make you even feel bad. They'll make you feel like, you're doing something wrong.
Don't say, Lord, please deliver. God won't deliver you. You have to decide and just break out.
Yeah. Break out. When they pass here, you pass there. Pass here, you pass here. There's a girl who used to come to the church. There was a problem in the church, and I was talking about it. I was explaining. She was in the church. So the person that I was explaining the case about, this lady who was in the church, dialed the person on her phone. And as I was explaining to the microphone, then the person was hearing through the person's phone. When I see her, I pass her straight. She also passed me straight. We pass each other straight. It's okay. I don't want people like that around me. It's my decision. If it's wrong, it's okay. I don't want people in my line. You are in the church and you dial your phone. What are you trying to say? I passed her straight. That day my wife said, for the first time she met her and then she called her name or something. I said, God is coming very soon. Pass straight like that. I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't know you. Simple. Simple.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't be afraid to get people rid of people out of your life. So don't be afraid. It's a decision you must make. It's a decision.
Yeah. Whether good or bad, at least you made a decision. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me.
When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yeah. When your spirit
speaks to me,
has the Lord spoken to you tonight?
With my whole heart
I'll agree. When your
spirit
speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, I'll say yes, Lord,
yes,
to your will and to
trust you and obey.
When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, oh yeah.
Father, tonight, what a privilege it is. We have been fed tonight, O God, by your word. The Bible says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thereby shall we live also. Thank you for the impartation. Thank you that your spirit has spoken to us. We declare that with a whole heart, we will agree. And we are saying yes to the decisions we have to make, even starting from tonight. And I know that as we follow and as we obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and to obey. Thank you for your people, that their lives have improved and decision-making abilities have improved. May they make decisions based on the scriptures. Decisions that will take them far. Decisions that will take them deeper in you and that will make them established on your promises. I give you praise tonight and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, you are here tonight. You are not saved. You are not born again. If you are to die right now, you are not sure whether you will go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, you don't know your destination when you die. Jesus is offering you a good destination with a good ticket. All you have to do is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The Bible says that you shall be saved. The ticket will help you to get to heaven. Don't go to hell. It's a decision you have to make for your life tonight. Do you want to go to heaven or hell? If you want to go to heaven when you die, then I want you to lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. Pastor, I'm deciding tonight. I want to go to heaven, not hell. God bless you. I see that hand. You want to make a decision tonight? It's a time of decision making. I want to go to heaven when I die. Pastor, please. Pray with me. Your right hand up high. I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to come. Come to me in the front. Come, sweetheart. Come. Clap for him as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. Oh, God bless you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, are you clapping well? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Anybody coming again? We're waiting for you. Just face me. Face me. Wow. All right. Look at me. I'm here. It takes a simple prayer. You are deciding. You see, I really appreciate the step you have taken because you didn't just come and go as if nothing is there to decide about. There's heaven and there's hell. And I'm glad that you've chosen to decide to go to heaven tonight. Amen. It's a simple prayer you have to pray. After the prayer, your spirit changes. Hallelujah. Can you feel it? You can feel it already. You're touching his chest. I mean, man, I'm excited tonight. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me. Church, let's pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite Jesus. I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. To come and live in my heart. To be my master and my savior. With all my heart, I believe without a doubt that by this simple prayer, I am saved. I am born again. My destination is heaven. My name is written in the book of life. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077. or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.